The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with Jesus, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. I usually start thinking about next week's gospel on Monday morning, and on Monday morning I looked in the Ordo. It's a little book we keep in the sacristy that tells us the order of the day for Mass, you know, what are the readings, what if there's a special feast, or whether or not you say the Gloria, things like that. And I looked what the Ordo said about this Sunday, and it just says very simply, "Because of sin, sickness and death entered the world, but are overcome through the resurrection of Jesus. He hears the cry of those in need, healing the sick and raising the dead to life. He made himself poor that we might become rich." And my first reaction to that was, well, that's not very helpful. Isn't that what it's all about all the time? And then I started to think even more about it, how we have all become way too accustomed to hearing that message that we just heard. It's just like, well, of course that's what happened. But I wonder if we really actually appreciate the depth of those statements. The Book of Wisdom reading, the first reading today, whoever wrote the Book of Wisdom had definitely a prophetic gift, because he talks about all kinds of things that are to come, but he didn't know Jesus, obviously. He says, "Because God made us in his own image, just and imperishable. By the envy of the devil, death entered into the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. Have you ever considered that the devil is envious of you? I mean, I don't know if people think about this very much. God has given us everything, right? And the one thing that even the angels never had was the gift of free will, to be able to change our minds, to be able to convert our ways, to enter into a period of reconciliation and reform. We're not just who we are, we're works in progress. And that's something that the angels and the devils are all very envious of, because God made us like himself in that way, in freedom. He says that they who enter into the company of the devil experience death. But what he could say also, if he knew Jesus, he would say, they who belong to the company of Jesus do not experience death. Death is one of those things we'd rather not think about very often. We probably don't spend too much time thinking about it. But the fact of the matter is that when we die, it's not like we disappear. We just stop being. So what Jesus says about the little girl who died in the gospel today is actually more accurate. He says she's asleep, and we need to wake her up, which is what he does. The word perishable means coming to an end. So this is what we believe. And then I started thinking about all the work I do with people of other religions, other faiths. And you know, whenever we enter into dialogue, we take as our guide, there was a document from Vatican II called Noster Aetate, which says that we do not reject anything that we find in other religions that is good or true or holy. The people of other religions are simply seeking God the same way we are, only differently. Different rituals, different practices. It's more of a cultural adaptation of the same way in which we seek God. All of us are identifying our God. We're trying to grow in God. And so when we enter into dialogue to find these things that we share, what is unique? What are the riches of our faith? And sometimes we might not do that for ourselves. And so I want to say today that we just heard accounts of miracles, healings, dead being raised back to life. These are not things you find in any other religion. Not saying anything bad about any other religion, but these kinds of accounts, they don't exist anywhere else. This is part of our heritage. There are mythic tales from times before history was recorded in some religions, even in ours. Even in the time of the Hebrew scriptures, God worked wonders and miraculous things happened. For example, impossible births as part of God's plan, or Moses in the Red Sea, that's a big one. But it was people doing powerful things by God's power, not their own. And it was very clear. But the story in the gospel today isn't that. This is Jesus himself, God, doing these things, being witnessed by others. It's remarkable. We need to look again and again at the riches of our own faith and what we believe to be true in that person of Jesus. And then consider how he does it so humbly. He's not someone in a 20,000-seat auditorium church making a show of it and asking for money. It is a quiet power of God who simply wills restoration, repair, healing. He doesn't need any recognition or fanfare. In fact, in the gospel today, he says, don't tell anybody, just give the girl something to eat. Right? So simple. Let's make it even more remarkable now, because Jesus, this anomaly in world religions, says that we too have been given this power. Go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, he says to his disciples. You won't find this anywhere except in Christianity. And he's not speaking figuratively, he's speaking literally, because we see the apostles, even in the Acts of the Apostles, doing just that. bringing people back to life and healing people. It's this will of God for life and healing, it kind of just comes out of them because it was given to them by Jesus. The gospel account right before this one today was the one last week where Jesus is in the boat in the storm, right? Remember what we said last week? That Jesus is in the boat, right? The first thing you have to remember is he's in the boat. It's not like we're looking for him. And that all we have to do is really just wake him up. We've already been given everything, and even more besides that we don't know about yet. It's all right here. We just need to wake up and wake him up. We see in both the healing of the sick woman and the daughter of the synagogue official this truth today in the gospel. It is our faith that seems to activate the healing power of Jesus in our lives. And so it is our faith that unlocks the healing power we have been given to act in Jesus' name.